Hello, everyone, and welcome to This Week at Shrouded, episode 57. We've got a great show for you today, but first, let me introduce our guest. Well, me first, the host, A. Greener, and then, of course, our lovely co-host this evening. We got Dunk over here as Archie. Shaco, below me. Thanks for coming.
Wow!
Not yeah, below me. Below me! And over here, we got Mr. Wrecked back, as always. Thanks, everyone, for being here. Really appreciate it. I'm regretting my decision now. Good lord.
Don't regret it. It'll be fine.
All right, so we got a lot to talk about. Obviously, we had the Dev Insight video or developer gameplay preview, whatever the fuck you want to call it, for the Final Shape with the prismatic new prismatic class for the Final Shape. Of course, we got to talk about Onslaught and the Brave Arsenal. But first, we're going to get into I don't know if we're doing anything else this week, which we typically do. And I'll start. I always pick someone else to start, but it's easier this way. I play Destiny. It's cool. It's an Onslaught. But I was really busy this week, so I didn't play a lot. But I did take my PS Portal with me when I left for work. And I've almost finished up my playthrough of Death Stranding. I don't know if... This is the second time I played through. For anybody who watched it before, I saw the trailer during some PS event, and for the second one, and I was like, "Oh, I gotta play that. I gotta play the director's cut over again." Well, not over again. I played the original, and I wanted to play the director's cut. And if you've heard my opinion on the game versus the director's cut, is I really like the game. I always did, even though it's a bit weird, or whatever you want to call it. But the director's cut is. The stuff they've added is not good. It sucks. But whatever. Anyway, just to be completely honest, there's a reason it was cut. It's kind of useless. But something I didn't notice that I've been noticing as I've been going through is they did a crossover with Cyberpunk 2077. I wasn't really... You get to a certain point in the game where you kind of stop reading all the shit. You know, like, for the first 20 hours, you might read all the stuff and listen to everything, but eventually you just start like, oh, I gotta go there and bring the thing there. I don't read why, I don't care. So I was getting these emails, and you don't read the emails or whatever. Sometimes you do if you're a real lore buff or whatever. But then I noticed the word Choom in one of the emails. And I was like, whoa, what's going on here? So I went through and read all the emails that come from that person, and it's all these Cyberpunk references. It's apparently V, the character, the main character in the game, is talking to you and trying to help you. If anybody ever played the game, the whole concept of the game is you're trying to figure out how to fix this chip that's frying your brain. So you're actually, the whole storylines of the emails is you're trying to find chips in the Death Stranding world to send to her, or him, I guess. To help fix the broken shit in their brain. So I thought that was actually pretty interesting, because I had no idea. I missed that somehow, or why they did that. It must have came out afterwards, or maybe at the same time as the director's cut. And then about three quarters of the way through the game, I got Johnny Silverhand's silver arm I could put on my character instead of like regular human hands. I thought that was neat. It doesn't provide any... Well, it does provide bonuses, but you get other things in the game that provide the same bonus, but I'm still running around with it, wearing it, because I thought it was cool. Anyway, I'm almost at the end. Yay me. And then I'm going to start playing...
Congratulations.
Thanks. I'm going to start playing Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, probably, I think, next. Because I should have played that a long time ago. Well, when it came out, like a month ago. Because I like those games. But I got 1,000 other games to play, too. And I gotta keep playing Destiny. Oh, man, it's a disaster. It's a disaster. I'm too old, and I gotta work too much. It makes me mad. I gotta do my house stuff. Oh, I'm done my bathroom. Wrecked.
Yeah? Somebody needs to pay for our milk shower in the catastrophe stream so we can see it.
I was thinking about posting some photos.
No. Hold that till you get a milk shower.
Hold that. I do need to... I say I finished it, but I still need to put the molding on the floors and the light switch covers back on.
That's easy, though. Yeah, that's nothing that's compared to everything else you've done already.
That's, like, the end of it, so... I'm pretty stoked. Now, I've in about 3 weeks, I've taken a week off work to finish building my fence, so... I got about 3 weeks of peace or non, like, real committal housework before I have to buckle down and finish this 120-foot fence that I'm building. So, that's fun. All right, that was my week. Anyone else do anything that wasn't really Destiny-related?
Yes.
Yeah.
I decided to take a deep dive into this latest Gamergate 2 brouhaha. And I downloaded the Stellar Blade demo to see who was right about it. And the answer is everybody was wrong about it. It is a acceptably good looking, super mediocre, third person action game. It's people keep saying it's a near clone or it's a Souls-like. No. No, not at all. Played the whole thing. It's a pretty, but also pretty mediocre action game with a lock-on mechanic.
Cool.
Congrats, and a lot of jiggle physics. But unlike most of the clips you'll see online, I did not spend a whole lot of time. Climbing up and down stairs or ladders to really examine said jiggle physics.
See, now
they weren't that impressive to me, honestly. I've seen better jiggle physics on dicks in Conan Exiles.
I mean, if I want to see jiggle physics, I'll just open up Pornhub. Like, I don't know why people are so concerned about that stuff being in their games.
If I want to look at, quote, and I can't believe I'm saying this, if I want to see a, quote, sexy video game character, there are literally thousands of games I can buy off Steam for approximately $2.95 each to get that experience. Not that I'm at all understanding of the folks that are attracted to pixels, so
it can be.
I think you're all weirdos. Sorry, not sorry.
There are three people in chat right now that feel incredibly called out.
They're probably the same people that watch that watch that anime that starts with an H. You know what I mean? I was trying not to use the word because too soon in the beginning of the video, it might fuck up the algorithm.
It's far too late for that.
There we go.
The recording's 20. You're right. We haven't been going. I was going to say that it's 26 minutes long with the whole recording.
I don't understand that shit either and also think it's weird. But you know,
I don't care. We don't.
I want to say to each their own, but no, it's fucking weird.
So. I agree with you 100%. I've always found it a bit odd, but especially when, you could just.
Imagine you're sitting at your desk screener and you're like, you know what? I think I'm going to draw a picture and then I'm going to do my own thing to that picture. That is approximately what I think of this experience. It's just, I don't get it. It's weird.
All right. That's fair. I was following some people's opinions of the Stellar Blade demo online, and some people enjoyed it for the gameplay. And some people said it felt really slower than what they were anticipating. They said they were kind of anticipating something like Nier and or like Bayonetta, or any sort of Platinum Games action, and it's not really what they're getting.
No.
So
if you go in expecting something like Bayonetta or Devil May Cry or something like that, nah, sorry fam, that's not what you're gonna get. And there's not even any of the skill ceiling that exists in those games with like pulling off combos and stuff. The game, unless they make some changes to the release, the full release of the game,
Gibbs, that was
the demo is all the like the cool action scenes you've seen. The game does it for you. You hit a button to initiate it, and the game just does it for you. You don't have to do anything. It's basically a micro cutscene in the middle of your action. Oh.
I did see the sizzle reel that plays after the end of it, and there was a lot of extra gameplay that we hadn't seen before, including some gun gameplay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that I didn't even know. Like, I haven't been really following it other than the controversy of butts, I guess, on Twitter.
I like the developer leaning in to that kind of back and forth sentiment that exists on Twitter. I think it's brilliant marketing. I think it's going to draw a lot of eyes to it on it. I think their demo is great because everything you do in the demo carries forward to the live release when you buy it. I think that's great. I think more games should do that. I just think the game is kind of mediocre. Yeah, it's very mid. I can think of a dozen action games that are like it that I'd play before it, even mid ones. So. Okay. So anyway, and then lots of Destiny, obviously.
Cool. Anyone else?
I've been sick all week. caught something that's going around up here, so like I know like 20 people that are sick right now, so been playing Destiny when I can, but it hasn't been fun.
All right,
fantastic.
Done? I'll bring the mood down.
Yeah,
no, that's okay.
I've been playing Destiny 2, of course, playing a lot of Onslaught, really enjoying that.
Let me guess, you played some Phasmophobia.
Just a little bit. I did the Easter event for Phasmophobia. Oh, that was fun.
Were you hunting down the Easter Bunny as a ghost?
Yeah, give me some details on what the Easter event
was. So, basically, you would go to... There are certain houses, I think there were six different locations. You would grab a UV, and then you would find the basically a bunny's footprints, and you would follow them to its nest, and then you would use the like dots thing that can help you see like ghost images and whatnot, and shine it on it, and it would show the rabbit there, and then you take a picture of that, and then it jumps at you and scares the absolute crap out of you for no reason, which is great. It's great. So you do that for all locations, and then you go to the final location, which, oh god, what was it? There was a map that I was like, god, I hate this map. Yep, that's all I'm gonna remember. Oh, that's right, it was the campground. Oh god, that map. Anyways, so you go there, and then you have to actually find the ghost, take a picture of it, and identify it successfully. And then that's it. It's not super complicated. It's just a situation of just finding the ghost and you'll be fine. So yeah, that was fun. That was interesting. Cool. But yeah, playing Destiny, loving that Recluse is back. Finally. My favorite SMG in the game. Of course, I'm just using the role that you initially get when you first unlock it, which is just Feeding Frenzy and Master of Arms, because it still feels fantastic, so love it.
Ironic. I got one before I even unlocked it, and I was like, oh, cool. Yeah.
Duncan and I are going to fight about Recluse, I can tell.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. I'm sure there are far better roles. I'm just saying that Master of Arms and Feeding Frenzy still feels pretty good for what it is.
God,
even after the nerf.
Oh, you're hurting me.
Oh, fantastic. We're going to have a lovely discussion later. And then I also got back into... Well, I'm replaying Assassin's Creed Odyssey.
Ooh.
For like the sixth time.
Oh wow.
Don't ask me how many hours I've put into that game. Please don't, for the love of God.
That's a lot.
How many hours you put in?
each time I've played it, a minimum of 120 hours. It's just that massive.
Assassin's Creed Odyssey is the only Assassin's Creed that I bought all the DLC and played it. Like, I've bought DLC from Assassin's Creed before, but I never ended up playing it. So it's like I have Black Flag Freedom Cry, but I never played Freedom Cry. I have all the DLC from Valhalla, but never played anything beyond the main story. Anyway, but Odyssey was, I loved everything about Odyssey. I love the setting, obviously. The Greek islands, incredible, amazing. I always loved the sailing when they added it to the game in, like, Assassin's Creed 3. They added the sailing fights. You don't really actually sail anywhere. But then they expanded upon it in 4. And then it's a little bit different because you got old school technology. Like, I liked having the cannons, but it's still okay in Odyssey because you get to travel through all of Greece. It's so cool. What a location too. And I really liked Cassandra as a character. I fucking hate Alexios. Holy Lord. Can't imagine anybody playing.
You're with the rest of the community on that.
Okay. Well, I don't like to be mean to voice actors, but he's never going to hear this. Like, the voice actor for Alexios is just absolutely atrocious. I hate it so much. It's so bad. I could not imagine playing the whole game as him. I just couldn't. Because I would cringe every time he was on the screen through the other version of the story. Every time. But I have always wondered what Cassandra is like as the villain. So, it's pretty interesting. Yeah. But I've never played it. Yeah.
The one thing I loved about the promotion for Odyssey was when they were like, oh, hey, you can get Alexios' voice actor as your Alexa. And it's like, why? Why would I want that? I'm sorry. No offense, but just... Why?
I wonder if it's just me, but it just sounds like somebody normal, but they slowed down the recording. Like, imagine somebody did, like, the voice at work, and then they just slowed it down by, like, 30%, and that's what he sounds like to me. I don't know why. It just pisses me off, and it runs the whole thing off to me.
I mean, it's very possible that they did that, but I know that they like to be as... I won't say authentic, but accurate as they can be when it comes to the actual voice actor's voice.
Yeah. Oh, probably. But it's just, to me, that's what it always reminds me of when he's talking. And maybe it's just the pitch of his voice, but oh, man. Because it is deep. It's deep, is it?
Yeah.
So it's, anyway, I don't like it. Anyway, so, and I really liked Cassandra in that. So anyway, my point was, I don't play DLC a lot. Or often, when I play, especially Assassin's Creed DLC, because those games are incredibly bloated to begin with. But that was just such a good game. I really enjoyed it.
I really wanted to try Odyssey, and I really wanted to try Origins, but my problem ultimately was, I know how my attention span on single player games can often be, and they're so, those two games in particular are so large that I just don't think I'd ever finish them.
Yeah, they're big. They can be finished on a more reasonable time frame if you just don't do a bunch of shit that you don't need to do. But then you miss a lot of the cool shit.
Yeah. Just like decisions you make actually matter.
Well, yeah. Well, in Odyssey, you're basically you're waging war in Odyssey, and you, based on the battles that you take place in, I guess I forget the factions, but there's two different factions, and basically if you go to war with one faction and win that said war, then basically that whole region gets changed to that faction. Yeah, it's pretty.
Yeah, it's Athens versus Sparta.
Is that, yes, that's what it was, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, yeah. That's all I got, was just that.
You mentioned Origins. I unfortunately, like, I skipped over Origins. Like, I was a big Assassin's Creed fan, but I was kind of getting bored of it. After Black Flag, I didn't play. There was two more that came out. One was called Syndicate. I can't remember the other one.
Unity.
I didn't play Unity because it got fucking reamed in the media when it came out. But Syndicate, I didn't play either. Or Origins. But I was like, oh, now it's time to give it. It's been like 6 years. I can get back into an Assassin's Creed game. So I played Odyssey. Fuck, I loved it. And I played Valhalla. And Valhalla's not as good as Odyssey, but it was all right. Eivor, or whatever her name is, a pretty good character. But the rest of the story was just kind of like, it kind of feels weird. And it doesn't even feel Assassin's Creed-y. You're not even the assassin in it, which is ironic if you play the game. you end up meeting the assassin, and you do jobs for him, but that's it. Like, anyway, it's weird because every other game you're part of the assassin bloodline except for this one. Anyway, and then I tried to go back and play Origin afterwards because I did play those two, and Origins was like the first version of that new RPG system that they come to. That they did a real good job at Odyssey, and it was okay in Valhalla. If you can't tell, I'm not as big a fan of Valhalla as I was Odyssey. But I couldn't get into Origins just because it felt a lot clunkier, and I didn't really like the character I played at the beginning of it. And then you stab your son through the chest in the first like hour, and you're like, oh, this guy sucks. So I stopped playing it. Spoiler alert for a 7-year-old game. Kill your like 10-year-old son at the very beginning of the game by accident, mind you, but anyway. Okay. And then I guess you can play as the wife, maybe.
Yes,
yeah, you can. So I might have liked her more since she didn't stab her son, but you must get to make that choice afterwards because I was still playing as Bayak or whatever his name. Like, you don't get the
you
choice
can switch back and forth.
Yeah,
it's kind of like Grand Theft Auto in that way. Yeah, you can switch back and forth at any time, and they all have their own unique missions you can do.
Anyway, because it was, you know, like probably made 6 years prior to like Valhalla, like just because of the timeline, it's like it felt like a big step backwards when I tried to go back to it, and didn't work out. So I didn't finish that one. Or play much of it at all. Maybe 4 or 5 hours, probably, max, I think. Maybe not even that much if I didn't know you could switch back and forth, so.
Yeah. That's more than I've ever played that game, which is 0 hours.
Oh, okay. You just knew about it? All right.
Yeah.
Alright. Alright, well, that was a lot of Assassin's Creed and other game talk. Let's go ahead and get into this Destiny nonsense, because there's lots to talk about today. So let's, like, just start right off with, we'll leave the Dev Insights things for a little bit. We'll start right off with what's in-game right now, talk about Onslaught, the Brave Arsenal, what weapons we're liking, what roles we're liking, that type of stuff. Right off the top, we'll just, you know, Onslaught. You guys having fun with Onslaught?
Love it. Absolutely love it.
A lot of fun.
We got two yays and one
Onslaught, like all Bungie modes, is coming out of the gate hot, but in a couple of weeks it's going to be boring.
Once
I have my roles, will I be going back into Onslaught anymore? No.
I think once all the weapons are released, I think you're right. Once all the weapons are out and everybody's got what they want, it will die down. But
well,
for
the
time
thing
being,
about
it's
that
so
is,
different.
Oh, yeah. The cool thing about that is once all the weapons are released and everybody has the roles they want, Final Shape will be out. So let's go.
Correct.
What do you mean? I've already got roles on all but two of the weapons that are out now. I've already got the roles I want.
Stop playing the game so much. You're those people on Twitter that say there's nothing left to do with the game because they just spent 48 hours out of the last 49 grinding.
I never make the claim that there's nothing to do in Destiny. Listen,
I know.
I didn't get to 8,500 hours in this game bitching about there not being something to do or not playing the game when I've done everything. There is still grinding to do, and maybe I'll grind for shinies, but probably not because I don't really give a shit about shinies. It doesn't matter.
Quickly explain that concept to me. I know, like, sometimes the gun drops and it's got the fancy skin on it, but hold on, because I got one of Elsie's pulls. Is it simple? It's a normal drop, random roll. I'm gonna explain
the entire loot cycle for the Brave Arsenal. All right. You've got these guns that have their new perk pools.
Yeah.
Once you do the quest from Arcanite, whatever the bot's name is, Arcite, you can then go to the statues and shacks to attune them to get your rolls skewed towards whichever a weapon it is that you want. When any time something happens where you get a drop of one of the Brave Arsenal weapons, there is a chance that it'll drop as one of the shiny versions. And what that means is that it'll have double perks in both columns 3 and 4, and it will have a skin, it'll have an ornament on it that you can turn on or turn off that is the standard weapon model with a glow at the front end of the gun. All right. They're all random rolls. The only weapons that are curated are the ones you get from doing the weapon quests themselves. But there, from then on, it's just a random shot anytime you get them.
The ones you get from the bot
are indeed shinies, but they don't have the double perks.
Correct.
There's not really an advantage other than the double perk making you have a better shot at getting the roll you want. Either way, they're going to be enhanceable when the final shape drops either version of the gun. And the drop rate seems to be pretty low of you getting shinies. No game mode guarantees them. Even if you do legend all the way through 50, you don't get a guaranteed shiny. In fact, the majority of my shinies, I've done multiple 50 runs. I've done a couple 50 legend runs now. All of my shinies specifically have come from turning in the trophies at the chest next to Shaxx. Every single one of my shinies have come straight out of that chest, not from actually doing the activity.
Okay. Are those the same ones that you used to unlock the armor?
Yeah.
Okay.
Correct.
All right.
So, but make sure you unlock the armor and the shader if you're going to, because that stuff's not available once the final shape drops. The activity will still be around, but all of the armor and the super black shader no longer available once the final shape happens. So you need to get that stuff unlocked now.
Oh, I missed that. Why would they bother taking that away?
I don't know.
That's so stupid. You can still get the Dares of Eternity stuff.
Well,
and this is basically the same concept, like for that like hub area. It's literally identical concept. That doesn't make any sense. All right, whatever. I guess if you didn't know, just FYI, armor and super black. Make sure you unlock that before June 4th, because apparently it's going away. According to the rec.
Won't be attainable anymore.
Yep. At least. And if you want armor for all three, go ahead, Rick.
It won't be available the way it is now. Does that mean it won't be available another way? No, of course not. Right. Just wait for Super Black to show up in the freaking Eververse store. It's not obtainable in game.
Yeah, 3 years down the road. If you want the armor for all three classes, it's 450 of the little medallion things. By the way.
Okay, 450 if you want all the armor and the
super. It's 150 per class.
Okay, well,
150 per character.
Just FYI, if nobody's dropped an Onslaught yet, I literally played two matches. Did the pulse rifle quests, and I already have like 62 medallions. Like,
yeah, it racks up quickly.
If you play the activity, you get plenty of it.
Yeah. All right, that's fair. Cool. All right, if you can just buy the weapons from those activities, why is Paul Tassi complaining on Twitter about resetting your fucking shit?
So as you level up shacks to 17, every rank, you get an Ingram there's an Ingram that's available, just like every other vendor. But it means you're getting additional drops on top of the stuff that you're earning that you won't be able to get later.
Opening those chests, like, is basically just getting Ingrams, right? So it's the same concept.
It is, but it means that you're not able to grind loot as quickly as you would be able to otherwise.
Deal with it. Complainer. What a complainer. What a complainer. All right. Cool.
It's not just him that's making those complaints. And there is, you know, there are some vendors that you can't reset, but you can still get drops from them. Nimbus, for example. You can't reset Nimbus, but if you continue to do stuff on Neomuna after you've maxed out Nimbus, Ingrams still show up there, right? You get them at a steady pace depending on how much rep you've grinded on the planet. So
what about Finch?
I think Finch is the same way. If you continue to do Throne World things, Ingrams will still show up there even after you've claimed all the rep track rewards.
All right. Well, if Bungie agrees, then they'll probably just add it in. Easy peasy. Probably. If they don't agree, then they'll won't say anything and just never do it. So,
yeah, it's whatever.
I guess that's what we'll find out. We'll find out. I don't particularly care either way. As long as I keep getting little medallions, I could just keep pulling from the chest if I haven't gotten something that I wanted yet. All right. So that's good to know. I gotta grind that out. That's okay. I got a bunch of stuff to grind out before the final shape anyway. So it'll be fun. Do some onslaught. Yeah, let's go, baby. Okay. So, all right. I haven't really played the maps too much, but I've played Midtown a couple times already, and I kind of like that it's changed a little bit. I thought it was pretty neat. And I don't know. They should just make that in the new Crucible map too. change the middle of it. Why not?
It's a stretch, but sure.
Why not? It exists. All they did was change like the middle bit. But it's different. It's something different.
Yeah. I don't know. They made a couple of changes to Vostok as well, mostly on that section between A and C, B and C. I think the maps are cool, except for Moth Yards. I really don't like playing Onslaught on the Moth Yards.
Nope.
Two of the points are cool, are fine. There's the third point though, where you're surrounded by planes. That point sucks ass.
It's way too open.
It's the worst, and there's not enough defenses around it. There's like one turret and a couple of decoys, but it's all trip mines, and trip mines are they're dog shit. Let's be honest, they're bad.
Yep,
very bad. Yeah.
So I don't particularly like that map, and so long as I have the option to pick others, I will be picking others and not playing Moth Yards, because I don't like it at all.
Well, the good news is you can pick whatever one you want. So there you go. Okay, so how? All right, let's talk about Legend Mode. Yeah, you could, just because you had mentioned you already done level 50.
Yeah, a couple times.
The developers claim that it gets GM level hard. Does it get GM level hard?
It gets a little dicey at the end. Yeah, when you get into those last 10 levels and that, and you get a Tormentor bonus round, it can get a little. You know that feeling you get when like you're driving a car and you come up to a big hill and then you go down the other side, and you get that kind of sinking feeling in your stomach. Yeah. That happens when the tormentor shows up, because the moment you break his shoulders, he's like, let me just suppress all of you. Now I'm going to go into red mode and charge you. Here, let me grab a hold of you. And, you know, it's GM level. So if he gets a hold of you and your teammate don't get you free, you're just dead. It's over. But it does get pretty hard. If you have the right team comp, though, you can mitigate all of that. A little bit of Strand or a little bit of Stasis goes a real long way on both Vostok and Midtown.
All right. Good to know. I was just curious. I wonder who got top three. Wasn't there some sort of Onslaught race on Tuesday?
There was.
Yeah.
Or a Shax, miniature Shax helmet or some shit.
Yeah. Sounds boring. all right. Cool. All right, so I guess what else we got? Oh, we'll talk about the Brave Arsenal in a minute.
Has anybody else tried Legend yet?
Oh.
Yeah.
I have not.
Yeah, I've gotten to like 41 or 42, but I haven't cleared it yet.
I haven't had time. I barely got the chance to play a couple rounds of it. So. A couple rounds of regular.
I do not like playing the activity with blueberries at all.
It's awful.
Unless I'm doing just the 10 run short playlist, I won't play it with randoms. Mm-mm. It's not worth it in the upper and the higher waves at all.
All right. Is there an emblem for completing Legend 50?
Yes. Of course. Okay. Why else would you do it if not to go to a social space with that emblem on so you can lord it over everybody else who can't get it and force them to go complain to Bungie on Reddit and the forums and Twitter until Bungie capitulates and reduces the difficulty? Huh?
All right. I was just curious, because if there's an emblem, then you're going to have to carry me through it.
There is indeed an emblem. Yes.
All right. So, get ready. Okay. So, next, I just wanted
You want to know a secret?
What?
You don't actually have to carry somebody the whole way through. You can get a crack squad to run the whole thing.
And then run the last level?
At the very end, just as they get to the boss to absolute, one of the people can leave and you can tag in somebody else, because it doesn't lock you out like a GM, and then they can just tip the boss over the edge and bam, counts as a full clear, instant emblem, done and done.
All right, well, we'll set that up.
Wreck putting loopholes on the internet.
Sounds good to me.
Listen, I will not, I won't shy away from the fact that both my runs, I have used every cheese available in the activity. I am hanging out in the little safe fire base behind the statues on the boss rooms. Absolutely. Yep. And I am ball glitching. Like, I am battery glitching like a motherfucker. Especially once, you know, we figured out that you could reload dupe. So you can dupe one battery like 7 times before the timer runs out if you get the combo down quickly enough. Literally, on one run, we had 12,000 scrap in the first 10 waves.
Oh my god. Beautiful.
Now, we weren't really glitching that much in the first Legend run I did. It was pretty much legit, because we didn't learn about the ball dupe until later. But the second run? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Battery glitches everywhere. Like, tier 3s on everything, like, before you even get to the first boss. Done and done.
Okay, so you had mentioned the battery glitch. So the amount of batteries you throw into the thing is, that's how it determines how much scrap you get?
Every time you throw a battery into the EDU,
oh yeah,
you get bonus scrap.
Okay. That's good knowledge for, I bet there's definitely a ton of blueberries that do not know that information.
And the amount of scrap is dependent on the health of the EDU as well.
And so you keep it topped up all the time, basically. Cool. If you have somebody that's good at the...
Right? Yeah.
If you have somebody that's good at the duplication glitch and can get, you know, between 5 and 7, it doesn't matter how damaged the thing was. It'll be back to full by the time they're done.
Cool. Done. All right. Well, I can tell you macros make it really easy, so you don't even need to be good at it.
I mean... I wouldn't bother with the macro. It's just, it's literally hitting the throw button and the weapon change button at the same time.
I think you have it on it. How lazy I am.
If you have it on a scroll wheel, I mean, if you have your weapon swap on your scroll wheel, it's literally no trouble at all.
Yeah, but hitting M5 is even easier.
Okay. Greener later. Why isn't this macro working? Getting no dupes at all.
I don't use macros. I don't know what you're talking about. We do have a highlighted message in chat, so I'm going to read it. Just because it's a question about the Brave Weapons. On the Brave Weapons, will Prismatic get both benefits from the indomitability trait or neither?
What? We have no idea. Nobody can tell you that. No one can answer that right now.
That is an interesting concept, though, if it does.
Okay, can you explain what that means to me then?
The origin trait.
Yeah, the origin trait.
Grenade energy for, grenade energy for light subclass, dark energy for melee for dark. So if you have prismatic active when you're running both at the same time, does it charge both with the trait?
How it appears to work for everything else, like the prismatic fragment that gives you overshields or woven mirror or whatever, when you pick up an orb, it's based off your super that you have equipped at the time. So I would presume that would also apply here.
That's what I was about to say. I imagine it's probably based on what super you have applied, whether it's darkness or light. But do not quote us on that. Yeah, I did not read that right. For some reason, when I was reading prismatic, I was just thinking of the shiny guns. And I'm like, wait, they get a different origin trait? I was so confused for a minute. So. Just ignore me. All right. Good question, though. Good question. That'd be interesting. That'd be a great concept. That's why they introduce it right beforehand, because they've got this great thing that it's even better once the new subclass comes out. Crazy. Okay, so we're just going to quickly kind of talk about the Brave Weapons and what you may or may not recommend currently. So, obviously, right off the top, we got the new Hung Jury. I don't know what's good on that. That is new. But what do we got? Explosive payload, kinetic tremor? I'm just guessing. I know that's a combination you can get, but is it?
I'm going to go last.
Okay.
I have not looked... Let me pull up light.gg really quick and find out exactly. Because I pulled a rapid hit Firefly, which is a tried and true roll.
Okay.
Which I will always love. But, yeah, I mean, I think, Desperate Measures is a cool perk. Maybe Kinetic Tremors Desperate Measures might be fun.
Okay.
So the best roll on Brave Arsenal Hung Jury is to go to Zavala and pull the Vanguard playlist version from him instead, because that one can still get for PvE, that one can still get Kinetic Tremors with Shoot Dilute, which is goated perk. You can no longer do that on the new Hung Jury because Kinetic Tremors and Shoot Dilute are both in column 3. They did not want that combo apparently out there anymore.
All right. Fair enough.
In terms of my opinion on what's good on the current hung jury for PvE, I would say that you would want Kinetic Tremors and then either Desperate Measures or One for All. And that's strictly because Kinetic Tremors has an interaction with damage perks where it takes on whatever the effects of your damage perks are. So if you have Desperate Measures maxed out, so 30%, your Kinetic Tremors will do 30% more damage. Likewise, if you have One for All proc, which is very easy to proc with a scout rifle and the GM, especially with enemy dents, that's 35%, and your Kinetic Tremors will have 35% more damage. So I think that's the way. You could do there's a meme roll that's Kinetic Tremors and Dragonfly. Could be fun. Some people are recommending, for some reason, Rewind Rounds and Precision Instrument, which I don't understand on a PvE roll. Theoretically, they have synergy. It'll be good, but you're going to be shooting that one target only forever rather than nuking whole groups of ads with Kinetic Tremors. So I don't know. I don't get it, personally.
All right.
And that one won't stack with Kinetic Tremors because it only affects precision damage, which Kinetic Tremors doesn't do.
So. All right. So Kinetic Tremors, One for All. Hung Jury. You heard it here first. That's what you're going for. Don't listen to the rest of the internet. They're stupid. Wrecked is our role connoisseur.
If you want one for PvP, get Box Breathing and Enlightened Action or Rapid Hit.
Okay. Got it. Roger that. All right, we're going to move our way over to Elsie's rifle. I have no idea what's on that roll, so somebody guide me. I have not looked into the rolls on either any of these guns. I've only got a couple versions of them. So if you don't know anything about the rolls, that's fine. Just pass to the next person.
I have not played with it much. I don't see many viable PvE options necessarily. I mean, Repulsor Brace to Stabilizing Grounds is kind of the void roll of flavor of the month.
Sure.
For a lot of guns. I mean, you could do Feeding Frenzy Kill Clip for PvP, which would be, but Kill Clip's kind of lost its time in the sun. So, but I don't like pulse rifles really either. So, don't listen to me.
Here's my current role of LC's rifle.
Mm-hmm.
Deleted. Next question.
All right. So, we have to start with PvP. For Elsie's rifle.
Sure.
Elsie's rifle has the highest stat package of any high impact pulse in the game, including Messenger Adept. Even with Adept mods equipped, it outstats Messenger. It feels very good to shoot, and it has perfect sets of perks for PvP. If you like pulse rifles in PvP, you will murder with this thing. You want Zen Moment and Headseeker, most likely. Keep Away and Headseeker is fine as well, but Zen Moment is such a good perk right now that I would go with that personally. It's very good. It's better than No Time to Explain or Messenger. It's great. For PvE, I mean, it's a high impact pulse. How many people are actually using high impact, slow firing pulses in PvE? I don't know a lot of people that really favor those very much, but if you were going to use it, Desperate Measures is there and is still great. Zen Moment and Keep Away will still be good. Zen Moment makes this thing such a laser beam. But if you're running void builds or you want to really lean into the Repulsor Brace, this gun is actually good with Repulsor Brace and Destabilizing Rounds just because its reload speed is good and its handling is very good. It feels very good to use. So I wouldn't be sad about any of those, honestly. You could even get some work out of loose change on it if you wanted the stat bonuses from the loose change to, you know, make the gun feel a little bit better. Although it already shoots smooth as butter as it is.
Okay.
There are a lot of PvE void pulses out there anyway. But this, if you liked Velus X, this is better than Velus X in every way. And it fits the same kind of role.
Cool. All right. Yeah, I was going through the perks and I saw, actually, before you said, I was really proud of myself. That's why I'm going to bring it up. I was like, oh, I think Zen Moment Headseeker. And then he rolls in and is like, Zen Moment Headseeker. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not a complete idiot. I love it. All right, anyway. we're going to move on down to Falling Guillotine, baby. Falling Guillotine. Now, I did see this perk roll, or whatever. God, what's the... Anyway. I remember seeing that you can get two damage perks on this.
You have multiple options for double damage perks.
Yes. Okay. My brain went straight to like Frenzy Surrounded, but why don't you tell me something else if something's better?
Yeah, Frenzy Surrounded you can get Vorpal Weapon with Surrounded. I am looking for personally Frenzy Bait and Switch.
Yeah, you and your Bait and Switch.
I love Bait and Switch, okay. But having the automatic damage perk, especially if you're in a boss phase, which could require swords, i.e. Crota, and you have Frenzy, which you're always basically in combat, combined with Bait and Switch, throw a fusion on him, hit him with a Wither Horde, and then proc Bait and Switch with a sword, I think you could do some nutty damage.
That makes sense. Like, the concept that you just planned out in my brain makes sense. We'll let Rek go last again. Dunk, you got any opinions on this one?
Yeah, you know, I was originally thinking Vorpal, but then I was like, no, absolutely go for Frenzy. That's going to be far, far superior in the case, because you got the 10% with Vorpal versus the 15% with Frenzy.
Yeah.
Why would you not go for that?
In a boss fight, it's always going to be triggered, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, Bait and Switch is a fantastic one. Worldwood and Blade would also work still a solid choice. I'm kind of interested in a sword logic one just for funsies, not necessarily for like damage or anything. Just
I don't even know if it can run sword logic. I didn't notice.
Oh yeah, it can run sword logic, and I find it hilarious. Anytime I see a sword that can run sword logic, I'm like, that sounds a lot of fun. So that'd be interesting. And then of course, just for movability, Eager Edge is always a fun perk to go for. But again, if you're going to go for damage, probably Frenzy, Bait and Switch.
I think Eager Edge on this Whirlwind Blade is going to be, I guess it's not a Whirlwind Blade, but, is more of a PvP perk with, like, Chain Reaction, probably? Yeah?
Yeah, possibly.
I would think, if you're going to use it. Anyway, and then Eager Edge with right-click, pull you right, like... The second that other sword came out, I just forget that it just was just released. That looks exactly like Falling Guillotine. That has
Slammer.
Slammer.
Yep.
I saw videos coming out of people whirlwind eager edging and just completely one-shotting Titan Bubbles and killing everyone inside. And I was like, yes, finally, for the love of God. So, I haven't grinded one of those out yet, so I'm definitely going to be grinding that Guillotine with Eager Edge on it. Whether it has Chain Reaction, which would probably be better if there's multiple people obviously in the bubble, but I'm still that's what I'm going for PvP wise anyway. If you use swords, I think that's a fun one. At least it's fun,
so. Yeah, the only downside to the spin to win swords is Eager Edge takes ammo, which I think is where Rek was going. So Eager Edge heavy ammo.
Yeah, Eager Edge and Chain Reaction is the role you will want for PvP, Greener. Absolutely.
Do I actually know how to play this game? I'm getting confused.
It's starting to sound like it. You might need to backtrack a little bit.
Yeah.
So
time to uninstall.
Guillotine's got 2 damage perks in column 3. You can either have Vorpal or Frenzy. Depending on the encounter, one might be better than the other. If I think of like Crota, you're gonna have Frenzy up like the whole time, period. But on something like Planet's Explicator, it might run out before you have a chance to actually do damage. I don't know. I want to see some testing to know if there were some bosses where, when they were in their their immune phase, whether or not even shooting them counted to get Frenzy up and running. So there could be a chance it would run out there. So, you know, there's that to think about. But in column 4, it's got Surrounded, which is the highest damage bonus in the game. And in arenas where you can proc it, that's going to be top of the heap. You've got Bait and Switch. You've got Sword Logic. You've got Desperate Measures. These are all good. Desperate Measures can get you up to 30% just by killing a couple of things. So bosses with adds around, that probably would be easier to manage than Bait and Switch. If you have a boss room with a yellow bar in it, you know, kill it with the sword, proc the maximum amount of Sword Logic, and then go to town. That could also be good. Here's the problem, though, with all of this. I personally think Falling Guillotine as a DPS weapon for bosses, even Crota, is a huge meme. And the reason why, to get most out of it, you're going to spend to win, you're going to use 6 ammo per, and your ammo economy sucks ass. I don't know for certain that that's a deal breaker for this sword, and I've got 4 of them now. I have all of the damage combos that I wanted. I've got Vorpal and Frenzy with Bait and Switch, and with Surrounded. But until there's been some testing done to see if you can out damage swords with better ammo economy, stuff that are using like Relentless to regenerate ammo as you go and swing more, will they be fun? Yes. Will they be fine in a whole mixed group that doesn't mind two phasing? Sure. But I'm not convinced that if a whole group of 6 went in with one of these and they all had this sword that wasn't surrounded, that you'd get a one phase on Crota. Especially if it's Bait and Switch. If they weren't all good at weapon swaps, nah. Nah. People would be whiffing that shit all over the place and running out of ammo. They'd be spitting a win all the wrong direction from Crota, not even hitting him with some of their hits. It'd be bad. So I'm worried that people see the double damage perk and like, ooh, this is going to be the best DPS sword in the game. I don't know about that. I don't think so. I think there's a skill gap that this sword will have built into it. I think it potentially can be some of the best DPS in the game, if you're good at managing all the things you have to manage. And I don't think the majority of Destiny players are that.
Stop calling me out. I hear you. No, I'm just trolling you. We're going to move on. We got some more to get through. So Falling Guillotine could be fun. Hey, let's check it out. All right, let's move on to Recluse.
Recluse.
So
you may get a tissue because there's tears.
All right, sounds like Rat doesn't like it at all. I'd say based on these perks, and I just pulled them up while you were talking about Guillotine. PvP, probably dynamics wave reduction and tap the trigger. Yeah, sure. Let's go with that. Sound good? No. Never mind.
Don't take that idea away.
Okay. All right. He didn't like that one. He didn't like that. What would you do for PvP then, right?
So, could you do tap the trigger in DSR? Yeah, but this gun already has good stability anyway. the gun already has good stability. If you needed the accuracy cone growth, it's only because you're a headshot fiend with it. So you're relying on the accuracy cone, but yeah. I don't think it's worthwhile. Here's the problem with Recluse. All right, I don't know how many people in here have used it, but it's got a reload speed of 28, which actually is better than a lot of other SMGs, especially in its subfamily. But if you take an SMG that has a lower reload stat and you take some video reloading them side by side, the reload animation on Recluse is longer than guns with a lower reload speed stat. The reload speed on Recluse is god awful terrible. Even with Feeding Frenzy proc, it is absolutely dog shit reload speed. Feels terrible. Unforgiven reloads faster. And I don't know anybody who's used Unforgiven. It takes a whole encounter for that gun to reload. All right? It just sucks. So in order to get Recluse feeling good, you have got to have multiple reload perks on it to make it feel worthwhile. It has to have Feeding Frenzy, or it has to have Threat Detector, and it has to have something else that's going to give you reload, whether it's Alloy Magazine or Flared Magwell. Like, for PvP, people are like, throw ricochet rounds on it. No, sir. Do not throw ricochet rounds on it unless you've got something that's boosting the reload speed majorly, like Enlightened Action, which is actually very good on this in PvP because it's a 900 and it Enlightened Action stacks so quickly. But you got to have double reload perks on this in order to make it feel worthwhile in PvE or PvP.
So what if you're just a hunter and you have reload dodge? Can I run dynamic sway reduction
if your dodge is going to tap the trigger? If your dodge is going to be available, then that's fine.
Dodge is available like every 8 seconds. Like, sure, it'll be available.
The reload speed on this gun is actually longer than a dodge animation is. It's terrible. It's so bad. Yeah, you could just, you know. Yeah, that'd be fun.
But I get it. It's got. Do you think that's a bug or?
I don't know if it's a bug or not. The fact that the reload animation takes so long, even compared to guns with lower reload speed stats, suggests maybe there's something bugged here. Or it could be that some of the very good damage perks on this, they didn't want it to run roughshod. And so the gun just has a long reload speed animation. Because there's nothing that says in Destiny weapon balancing that two lightweight 900s, one with a better reload stat than the other, necessarily has to reload faster.
Why the reload fuck animations it, are though?
Reload animations are a separate thing and have different scalars than what the reload speed does. So,
okay,
it could be intentional. I don't know.
All right. PvE, I guess. Are we even running Master at Arms on this, or are we running Desperate Measures?
Either or.
I don't know. You guys tell me what you think about Master of Arms.
I haven't gotten a Master of Arms yet, but I know I like Desperate Measures on SMG, and probably just because of the reload issue, maybe Subsistence. Thank you. Subsistence, Desperate Measures, maybe. That, I'm just throwing it out there. I've only got one of these, and I haven't even put it on yet. What is my role? Let me check. Be funny if it was just what I just said.
I am not crazy about Recluse. Was great when it was out. I think out of all the returning weapons, outside of the ones that are already in the game, the raid weapons, Hung Jury is probably the bottom of my list. For the sole fact that I have a funnel web that can do everything Recluse can do, basically, only it has better stats out the gate.
You said hung jury in there somewhere. I got confused.
Oh no, just outside. I think hung jury is just bad.
Oh, okay, all right.
It's a scout rifle, and then the returning Wade weapons. I got Weewoo wounds now. Yeah. Recluse is right above all of those in the tier list, but that's only because it's like a nostalgia factor, right? But I prefer my funnel web in every way. So
Okay. Sounded like you want to say something there, Dunk.
Yeah, so Master of Arms is still a fun perk. Is it good for add clear shroom? Is it the perk you want to go for? Maybe not. It's all going to depend on your playstyle. Destabilizing rounds could be a lot very useful, especially in higher end content. Not, is it something you want to go for? Again, probably not. Definitely want to go for that other perk, the Desperate Measures. That definitely seems like that would play very well. Feeding Frenzy, of course, is going to be great for the reload factor. To kind of add on to what Rekt said for reloading, you could also just go for Light Mag, just to get that extra plus 10 reload speed. But Feeding Frenzy is definitely a fantastic perk to go for. You could also just go for a Repulsor Break, or Repulsor Brace, especially if you're someone who needs that extra bit of survivability.
If you're if you're running Void a lot, yeah, I could see that making sense. But yeah. So, Feeding Frenzy is obviously column 3.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. So I mean, yeah, I could probably roll with that with Desperate Measures, but I don't know. I think I'll be shooting for subsistence, Desperate Measures roll for this one.
Yeah. You definitely have subsistence as an option.
So here's the deal. Master of Arms used to be great because what it did is it gave you precision damage on body shots. All right. Yeah. That massively, massively huge. That's why it was used for so often. It was used so often. Then it got cut and it was a 20% damage bonus. Then it got cut again and now it's just a 15% damage bonus. So the problem it has is that it's competing with Frenzy in the same slot that's also a damage bonus that you don't have to do anything to proc, right? You just look at those two perks. You have either Frenzy, which you're going to have to wait your 12 seconds, but then it's up for the entire encounter as long as you're fighting, right? Master of Arms, you can proc right off the gate with any weapon. So you don't have to wait the 12 seconds. You can proc it immediately. It's on a 7-second timer. As long as you can refresh it, you keep your 15%. Which is better for you? That's a debate that's going on all over the internet right now. There are a lot of people that are like, Master of Arms makes those sense because Frenzy exists. Why would you want one over the other? And it's a matter of, I want my damage bonus now versus I want to wait 12 seconds, right? Master of Arms is good on this gun, but only in PvP. And the reason it's good in PvP is because you can pair this with like a sniper, get your pick with your sniper. That's going to proc your 15% on Master of Arms. You go into your fight immediately when you follow up on that pick with an SMG that's doing 15% damage more than it already does, and that it actually gives you enough forgiveness to make it worthwhile. So the fact that you can chain it from special damage is what makes this good. Right now, with Forerunner being the massive beast that it is right now, you can pair this with a Forerunner, get your kill, go to town with your SMG, and keep chaining that damage. Great for great for PvP. For PvE, Desperate Measures is a superior perk, in my opinion, all the way around. It has such good what's the word I'm looking for? Synergy with the origin trait. Because you're trying to get a weapon kill, then you're trying to get a grenade kill, or vice versa. You're getting energy back from doing that, or melee kill or whatever. You're getting, and it also works with unpowered melees. So you can proc the Desperate Measures times 2 with an unpowered melee. Super good. One role that I don't think is getting enough discussion, though, is Frenzy plus Feeding Frenzy. So Frenzy, once it's proc'd, your reload speed goes to 100, right? Which should fix part of Recluse's problem, but it doesn't fix the animation duration, which is what Feeding Frenzy fixes. Feeding Frenzy doesn't give you more reload speed. It makes the actual animation shorter. It cuts down the speed of the animation. So those two together might be a good combination. And I actually hadn't thought about that until we were having this discussion just now and I was looking at the perks. But that might be a good combination to try out.
All right. Cool. Anything else?
No. Master of Arms is dog water, unless you have it on for PvP. Then it's good. That's what.
All right. So feeding frenzy, desperate measures. That's what you want now.
I like feeding frenzy and desperate measures, and light and action and desperate measures, dark detector, desperate measures, all good.
All right. Cool. Sounds fun. Oh, what's next on the list here? I lost my list.
Edge transit.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, let's talk about edge transit. So edge transit. I mean, you had a god roll earlier. Shaka or Shaka. Oh, shit. Whatever. Fuck.
Yep. I have the roll I want that I prefer. Yeah. The Envious Assassin, Bait and Switch, Spike Nades.
That makes sense, honestly, in my opinion, at least. Envious, obviously. Bait and Switch, obviously. Good stuff. Spike, probably Quick Launch. It's usually good. Power Grenades. If anybody wants to know the barrel, now you do. Maybe someone disagrees with me. Suppose it doesn't really matter.
It does matter, because there's two ways to go. You can go Spike for being a basic grenade bitch, yes. But there is an interaction with blast radius that increases damage. More blast radius equals more damage. So you could go volatile launch with high explosive ordnance and be just fine.
Okay.
You don't necessarily have to have spike anymore.
Okay. But spike quick launch. It's better. I'm just trolling you.
Not true.
Obviously, so that's PvE roll. Pretty straightforward. Envious, bait and switch. Run around a PvP. I'm looking at the.
It's not just Envious, Bait, and Switch. There's also another perk that people are constantly ignoring on this gun is Deconstruct. All
right. Right.
And most people, when I say Deconstruct, they say, "What do I care about shooting constructs in vehicles?" But that's not what the perk does. The perk is going to give you more ammo for doing that, but it also gives you ammo for just getting hits. It only will start once you get down to the base magazine, so it's base magazine 6. But for every 2 hits you get with the grenade launcher, it gives you free ammo. It gives you 1 free shot. So your 6 round mag is actually 9 rounds. That's literally 50% extra total damage for the gun. It's literally a 50% damage boost if you get every shot out. Can't argue a 50% damage boost, I don't think. So
yep.
For very short damage phases, maybe not the best, but grenade launchers fire so quickly anyway. What's more important to you? Getting your rotation for your bait and switch down, or just getting, as long as you're hitting, getting your 3 extra shots in? So.
All right. Does anyone use heavy grenade launchers for PvP?
Yeah. I mean, not so much since the changes, but you don't want proximity grenades on this anymore, probably, because you can't one-bang anybody with proxy nades anymore. It only does, like, 223 damage. You'll leave people one-shot unless you manage to hit them directly with a proxy nade. Good luck. High explosive ordnance is a better option. My personal role would be, like, volatile, high explosive, blast radius masterwork, impulse amplifier for the velocity, and then either frenzy or explosive light. If you happen to get an orb, you will just nuke whatever you hit. If you don't blow your load immediately and you can exude a little patience with your heavy ammo to make sure you have frenzy procced, that will also do like 300 damage per shot, that, you know, you'll be able to kill supers as long as you get frenzy proc ahead of time. So that last roll is basically dealer's choice.
So if I want, I guess it doesn't matter. I was going to say, if I wanted to still run proximity nades with frenzy, it would still one shot as long as
it was proc. If you can get it proc, yes.
Yeah, okay.
It'll still one shot. But otherwise it will not. It will leave them one shot every time. It'll leave them, it will leave the enemy one shot. It'll be at absolute every single time. It cannot kill a guardian that's 10 resilience.
I'll just shoot. Oh. Who's running around 10 resilience in PvP?
I mean, it won't even kill. There are some guardians. It might not kill even up to resilience 7. It might be gated at resilience 7. Proxy nades. It does 211. It's not. Yeah, it's a low. It's a low resilience gate. It's not even 7. It's probably like 5. I'd have to go look up the hit point numbers, but most guardians, you're not going to one bang.
Okay, so replace that with this explosive ordnance. What'd you say for the barrel? Because I would go quick launch off the top of my head, so I know you said
volatile. I would do volatile.
What does that do?
It gives you additional blast radius, but it costs velocity.
Right, so you keep talking about this blast radius damage thing. It sounds like, when you explain it, it sounds like a bug. Is that something that's going to be fixed?
Or no, is that how it's supposed to work? That's how grenade launches work.
Why does bigger the blast radius have anything equal to more do damage. With damage?
I don't know why, but it does.
That's what I mean. Like, you don't know why. Like, I don't know why. It doesn't sound right, but why does it? So
it's always been that way. The only reason it hasn't been discussed is because spike grenades has always been a bigger impact. Now spike grenades doesn't have a bigger impact.
Okay. Fair enough.
The Wrecked, I do have a question for you.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on full cord as an option?
I think full cord is great in a PvP map where you've got, or a PvE map where you've got distance to your target. Like if you were doing Oryx and you know you're going to have the like the full travel time, because it's a chunky damage bonus, right? That you don't really have to do anything except shoot for. In PvP, it's not worth, because you're never going to be far enough away from an opponent for it to proc.
I don't know. It's very feasible you could have that potential option. I'm just saying, because basically fourth column for PvP is trash anyways.
I mean, listen, if you're on just Junction or Widow's Court and you're like, Kobe! And you just fire it down range, I mean, if you hit somebody at that point, yes, it's going to nuke them because it's going to have enough, but it wouldn't be something I would count on, and I would almost always prefer to just use a rocket in that particular instance.
True.
Okay. We're going to move on to Succession.
We can move past Succession.
All right, so based on what I'm looking at here, the PvP role seems like my good old tried and true role. I'm always a huge fan of moving target and snapshot. But you guys have any other things that you'd roll on this in PvP?
My favorite role of Succession is go to DSC and get your red border knocked out.
Correct.
That is the correct answer.
The only thing they added to this gun that's worth noting is redirection. Okay? And let me ask you, in all of your years using sniper rifles in this game, whether it's PvE or PvP, how many times have you loaded up something with redirection and been like, I am going to kill 5 adds so I can get one bullet that does 100% extra damage?
No.
Whenever have you done that? Okay, well then there's no point.
Okay, so I'm just going to say what I think is good on this. That's not the DSC weapon. Reconstruction firing line seems pretty good.
It would be okay, yeah.
If snipers were meta, which they can be for certain things.
Reconstruction focused fury would also be fine.
Yes. I'd get extended.
Reconstruction Vorpal also be fine.
Not. Yeah, extended made reconstruction. Yeah, Vorpal. I like firing line. Easy. Yeah. Does it do the same? No, surely it doesn't. Surely firing line is a higher buff than Vorpal.
Firing line is 20%. Okay. Vorpal is 15%.
10. It's special weapon. Remind you.
Yeah, special weapon.
Yeah, so far
it has box breathing, which is a big chunky damage bonus, but for one shot. Focus Fury is going to give you 20%.
Yeah, so you got some options there. But yeah, so I don't know. I doubt anybody wants my rolls, but yeah. PVE reconstruction firing line. You could pop one of those other ones on there if you really want to. If you're not going to be standing, I guess, beside your teammates or your soloing shit.
Rex's official recommendation is never, ever attune this gun.
Oh my god. Alright, and moving target snapshot is always good. It's always good for a sniper rifle.
Correct.
And this rolls that, so. Love it. Love it.
It's kinetic, and the supremacy exists, and is easy to farm with nearly any group. In fact, you don't even need to know the encounter to supremacy farm. You just need to stand there and let somebody else run the plates. It's fine. Literally two people can run the plates on the first encounter of Last Wish, and you all will still one phase the encounter. No problem.
Okay. Alright. Never mind. Let's just move on then. So that's it. We'll leave the weapons that come out as they come out. We'll talk about them on the podcast then. So that leaves the Mountaintop, Midnight Coup, Hammerhead, Fort Barents, Blast Furnace, and Luna's Howl. I'm excited for those last two. I always like Blast Furnace. I don't know if it'll be any good now, but
yeah. Anyway. I think it will be.
Cool. That's good. That's good. So we'll check those out at that time. We may as well talk a little bit before I quickly go through the TWID. And then we talk briefly about the Prismatic subclass before we end this in the podcast. Has anybody redone the Whisper exotic mission yet?
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I have not. I'm excited to get back into it. I know it's going to be easy now. Just, I understand. Like, the most difficult part of that mission was the jumping, and our moving. Destiny 2's movement has completely changed since year one, and it just, I guess, I don't know, you guys can tell me if I'm completely on the ball. Like,
my very first run of Reprise Whisper was a legend run, and it took under 13 minutes to finish.
Yeah, I guess. That's right.
Yeah.
So that's fine for me. Like, it'd be cool if they upped it a little bit or added something into it, but whatever. It's fine. It'll be fine. Free content. Free old content that we already paid for a long time ago and we're getting back. Thanks, Bungie. At least we get a craftable Whisper. So that's nice. I guess. Yeah. So we will be able to make it better than the current exotic is. So that's nice. I assume you've crafted your Whispers and been testing them out. Are they any good?
Yeah. I mean, it's just the first week, so a lot of it's locked.
Right. So the
unlockable catalyst
thing?
Yeah, my plan is to run Precision Instrument when it gets there. Or Enlightened Action. Which one is it? Is it Enlightened Action? Is that what it rolls?
I don't know. I never looked.
I haven't looked. I saw Field Prep and I was like, that's the first one. Okay. I'm good.
Yeah, I wanna.
It's not in the API yet, so I can't.
Yeah, it's
look.
Not even the. Yeah, it's not in the. I was just looking too. Yeah. I think it's Enlightened Action. Is that the one that gives bonus handling?
Yeah, for hits.
Yeah, so yeah, I think having Enlightened Action on this, if you're running Enlightened Action and then that has the automatic intrinsic perk, you can really boost the handling around, make it feel really snappy during a long boss phase with basically free 24 shots or whatever it has now.
Cool. I haven't touched it. How do you unlock that, by the way?
Go talk to Eris Morn.
Eris, okay. I didn't pay enough attention to it other than I just hovered over and it says do quest or some shit. And I was like, oh, cool.
Yeah.
I'll do that. I'll do that later. So
go talk to Eris. She'll say some creepy shit. You'll go do a mission. You'll go back to her. She'll say some more creepy shit. You'll do another mission and then you're good to go.
So they explain why we, how we end up back in Io?
I don't know. I didn't actually read the creepy shit.
Is there no, like, because they explained it when they brought Mars back for the final shape, but.
No, they don't explain it. It's just back.
It's just there. All right.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that's fair. And I guess the Vault of Glass is on Venus anyway, and nobody ever explained that, so...
Yep. Well, it's not like we ever lost Venus, it's just that we don't have it as an accessible destination.
Okay, that's fair. Sure. That's true. Alright, so what do we got here in the Twitter? They talk about Into the Light, we've already talked about that nonsense. They've got, they have on posted on YouTube the End of the Light cinematic, so if you skipped over for some reason. They actually got some sick-ass wallpapers. I don't know why they've been releasing so many wallpapers lately, but there's a bunch of wallpapers on here that are super cool. Some of them with the new weapons and armor. Some of them like Guardians, showing off their supers. I think they're really cool. There's some really new ones on here. In fact, I could... I think that's the right capture. Yeah, okay. Yeah, let me just show you if you hadn't seen it. Yeah, boom, bang, 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 bang. Okay, so we got Mr. Purple Goop here. For some reason, his helmet looks like a Titan to me, but when does a Titan do this shit? I don't know.
I mean, that is a Titan.
Yeah, what the fuck's he doing? Looks like a fucking handheld supernova.
He's making a grenade, man.
Do Titans make grenades?
Apparently they do.
Alright, whatever. And we got Blade Barrage, Mr. Hunter, that looks like Scarecrow. Lightning Warlock.
With the worst helmet possible.
What? Crown. Tempest Crown, right? Yeah, it looks awesome. I don't know what you're talking about.
The Jesus Crown is so ugly. The only thing that's more ugly is the aircraft carrier. Cenotaph.
Okay.
Yeah, but at least Cenotaph is helpful.
That's true. Yes.
Bubble Titan, Strand, Warlock, Stasis Titan. And then this is where showing off some of the new Brave Arsenal stuff. Same here. Bing, 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 bing. Anyway, I think this one looks cool. This one looks cool. That's a tower. The original tower in the back, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That looks nice. Here. Let's get this off the screen now. Okay. All right, they updated HUD. I don't really care. I don't want to go over all this stuff. It's already been long enough. They're prioritizing some buffs. Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah, there's some new buff-looky things. Looks cool. Keep an eye on
that. They are reorganizing buffs and debuffs, so your raid shit will appear at the top of the screen. Specific weapon buffs will appear down in your status bars, and then the rest of your buffs will appear where they have been appearing.
Yeah. Is that done yet, or are they doing it later?
That's with Final Shape.
It's Final Shape.
This is Final Shape stuff. Okay, cool. I was going to say, I haven't seen any of this yet, but maybe I'm just stupid, because that does happen. Alright, they did list some Final Shape weapon rotations. I feel like we already knew about all this stuff. Anyway, Resurgence Glaive's out of rotation. Cataphract's leaving rotation April 23rd. Messenger's leaving May 14th. Igneous Hammer leaving May 21. Osprey Rocket Launcher from Braytech. Last week is this week. Get it now, I guess, if you want it. Load of Questions leaving on April 23rd. Jorm's Claw on the 30th. Bite of the Fox, April 30th. That must be our next Iron Banner week.
Yes, it is.
Bite of the Fox, yeah. Pressurized Precision Fusion Rifle, same. And Swarm of the Raven. So those four, the next Iron Banner will be the last chance you have to unlock them. What the fuck is this photo? All right, this upgrade perfected. Looks awesome. Everything else in this photo I hate. But whatever, they raised money, so that's cool. Yeah, I should mention it because I'm not an asshole. Alright, so you can get this Gilded Out Trader by the looks of it by donating. $10. Yep. And you get an emblem if it's $30 and some other shit for more money. Go check it out here. And they are raising money for Ronald McDonald House, which is actually pretty good. So that's a good one. Yeah. So go nuts. If you want some emblems, go check them out. If you donate and get some extra emblems and you want to send them to the SGC, you can do that too. Thanks. Appreciate it. We'll give them away. Ayo. All right. That's everything on here that's important. Let's see if there's a link at the bottom. Of course not. No. Fucking shitty ass community team. That's useless. All right. Okay, so prismatic shit. Let's talk about that before we end out. Okay. Well, I guess just in general that whole thing, because there was a couple things. There was all the new enemy stuff. There was the prismatic subclass, which is a combination of all the subclasses, and then of course exotic class items that can get two exotic perks from existing class items. So I guess I just fully explain that. What's that mean?
Sort of.
What do you mean? They're random rolls. That's exactly what they do.
They're not giving you the full exotic perk. They're giving you perks that are similar to exotics, but not the full thing. So, like, the one that's Syntheseps will boost your melee damage, but it's not the full Syntheseps melee exotic perk.
So I can't get...
based on the descriptions.
I can't get Star Eater skills and...
We don't know what combinations are going to be available.
The fucking Jesus Celestial Nighthawk?
Maybe you just, can. No. You will be able to.
We don't just get a quadruple damage boost.
Yeah, they haven't said how many or which ones are actually coming available. They showed off like 10.
Anyway, exotic class items. This excites me. Okay, for the main reason is... On my Titan and on my Warlock, okay? If I want to do drip, okay? I can now actually customize the drip the way I want, and the little mark or the little arm thing doesn't really affect the drip too much. And I can have an exotic on it, and it makes me very happy.
Okay.
It pisses me off all the time that it's like I have to wear the Celestial Nighthawk when I want to wear, like, my fucking Aloy helmet or something. But if it's just the cloak, I don't care. If it's the cloak, I don't care.
Yeah.
But everything else, it's always pissed me off that there was no class item exotic. So that's cool. I like it. And, of course, because it's going to be cool. You're going to... It's something else to chase. People have been obsessed or the last 4 days or whatever it is that... They actually have to grind out stuff now. So this is going to be the same, hopefully. It's random. So people are going to be chasing their favorite combinations of these things for forever. So I think, yeah, it's nothing but a good thing. Something fun. Now, if they go a little bit too weak on these things, it may not be as interesting. So hopefully they give us at least like 75% of each perk's power. Bungie should give us legendary ornaments for exotics for people who... Yes, I 100% agree that you should be able to make your exotics transmogable into legendaries. I've been saying that forever. It's ridiculous that they sell these full 5-piece armor sets on Eververse and then you can't wear them because you gotta wear some ugly-ass, stupid-ass fucking chest piece or helmet.
If they had enough... ornaments for the exotics, it wouldn't be that big of a deal, but there are some of them that are just absolutely hideous and then either have no ornament, like, I don't know, Cenotaph, or they have a bunch of ornaments and they all look like ass.
I just think we should be able to put legendary stuff on it. I don't even care what their ornaments look like. You sell full-on sets in the Eververse store for all 5 pieces of armor. I should be able to utilize that set no matter what I have on, whether it's an exotic helmet, an exotic chest. Like, I should just be able to click that set and I turn into that. That's it. End of story. Doesn't matter if I have an exotic.
In my opinion, I don't care either way.
I think it's dumb.
And I think
the only time I care is when an exotic is particularly ugly. The rest of the time, I don't care.
Okay, so let's meet the Dread really quick. New entire enemy class. So, like, Bungie was cooking on this thing a little bit, in my opinion, because I remember when they initially did the final shape reveal, they were like, here's these two guys that are going to fuck with you with Strain and Stasis, and they didn't mention any of these other things, but they've got a whole slew of these new characters, meet the Dread, they got a flying fucking thing that flies through the air and tries to eat your soul. They've got the two guys that they talked about, the subjugators or whatever the fuck they're called. Yeah, the subjugators. We got the tormentors for Lightfall. Now we got these big flying motherfuckers. I don't know if they've got the list here. There was a bunch of other stuff, but again, remember, I'm dumb and can't remember shit. So I don't know what the other ones do. I can't remember. Oh wait, it's right here. All right, so the Grim take the flight. Like bats with guns using screech. Oh, the screech when I was listening to it while I was driving. I was like, oh my god, that sounds awesome. Hold on. All right. I just got text the word Switzerland. That's really odd. The husks are melee bruisers that can still try to take you down even after they have been destroyed. Oh yeah, so you kill them, shit comes out and tries to blow you up. By unleashing what's called a geist, I guess. Okay. The attendants and weavers are the stasis and strand wielders, respectively, who will use the darkness powers to freeze you in place and pull you across the battlefield. Wait, what's this? What are the subjugators then? You just have to adapt to the new attacks to defeat the foes above. Because it says at the top of this paragraph, subjugators and tormentors were just the beginning.
The subjugators are big tormentor type enemies that have either strand or stasis powers, but they didn't really talk about them a whole lot in the reveal. They were focused on the other new smaller adds. So these are going to be like, those are like the majors, the tormentors and the subjugators.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Okay. They look cool. Anyway, this image here, it's fucking badass. Looks like this guy, fucking this stasis dude. Holy shit. That looks so cool. So we got the tormentor back here, like a dum-dum. These must be the subjugators. These are the fucking dudes that are fucking with you. I guess they're also strand and stasis, but they're the regular battlefield ones. That must be the dude that explodes, tries to murder you, and this guy suppresses you. So cool that they, like, introduced a flying enemy, I think. Something very new. But all these things, the designs on some of them, I know they all look just like fucking Rolk, but whatever, it's still cool. Stasis Rolk, Strand Rolk, baby Stasis Rolk, baby Strand Rolk, hooded Cripple Rolk, Flying Rolk. Sorry.
Hooded Cripple Rolk.
Look the way he's standing. Anyway, doesn't matter. That's so cool. All right, I can't wait to fight some of them off. Any thoughts on those? You guys want to bring it up?
No, it's good. It's good that we finally have the Darkness faction showing up. It's a good thing.
I think that's pretty nice, and I'm glad they showed it off, and I'm glad they had something else other than like what they did this time. You know, here's the Tormentors. Congratulations. Let's reskin the Cabal and call them the Shadow Legion.
Yeah.
So this is an actual new straight up faction that we're just going to be fighting on a more regular basis. Sure, they might sprinkle in, you know, all the Hive and shit. Or not the Hive, but the Taken in with that. And they'll be mixed among it. But yeah, it'll be good. It will be good. All right, so let's talk about Prismatic and then go home.
Okay.
1 second. Okay, so Prismatic. If you guys didn't see the video or the stuff, a little bit of spoilers ahead if you don't want to hear it. But in reality, essentially it's a new subclass that's coming with the final shape. And it's a combination of... basically a combination of all the light and darkness powers now. Now, it's not going to be whatever you want. But the general concept is you can now mix and match your powers to create I don't know, crazy-ass subclasses that have this function that when you're doing light and darkness powers, these bars come across the screen to unlock a more powerful version of yourself. I forget the name of it now. When you transcendence?
It unlocks a grenade. It unlocks a special a double ability grenade. That's what it does.
But it looks cool. Did you see them unlocking? It was like... Yeah, I don't care. That's all I care about is the animation, man.
There's much more to do before you hit that mark
than
there is when you are in that phase.
Yeah, I guess. All right. So the build, Bungie was really pushing upon the build crafting of this this thing. You're gonna have some options. It's not just gonna be like laid out in front of you. Here's prismatic, and you get these four things. But it's obviously not gonna be unlimited either, which would be fucking cool, but impossible to balance. So, literally impossible. Probably. Anyway, so it's going to be a bit limited, but I'm still pretty stoked for it. What were you guys' thoughts on the reveal? Because I'll tell you, when I saw it, I've always been a bit... Well, hold on, you can give your thoughts in a minute. I've always been a big component on every time they release a new subclass, the expansion sucks, because they focus so much in the subclass and not the expansion. Because Beyond Light, Lightfall, but Witch Queen... Forsaken. All they did was give us new supers in Forsaken. So, I was kind of excited originally when they were like, okay, here's the final shape, here's your new supers. And I'm like, yeah, Forsaken, let's go. Because that's all they did, right? Now they've got new supers, a new subclass, fucking new alien race. Like, there's going to be zero content. No, I'm just kidding. They're not going to have any time for any content. No, hopefully it's amazing. But, I don't know. I'm definitely a lot more excited after that Dev Insights video. It got me a little bit more pumped. I know we've always been trolled in the past by Bungie making everything look awesome and then it coming out really terrible. But I don't know. I have faith right now. We'll see. I'm excited.
Okay.
So what was your thoughts on Prismatic?
I'm gonna go laugh, please, boys.
I'm excited. I think if it executes the way that they are portraying it to execute, there are a lot of really interesting and potentially really strong combinations that you can run with. I will say thematically and in the course of the story, the way they have presented it fits. You are basically bringing the darkness with the witness into the traveler, who is light, and combining them together. It fits with the story. It fits with what they're trying to do. Whether or not it actually operates, we'll wait and see. But if it works as it's advertised, then it's going to be freaking phenomenal. And it's going to be so much fun to play. And it's going to have... I wouldn't, not endless combinations, but there are going to be some combinations that are absolutely going to decimate some of these enemies, whether they're powerful or not.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I agree to an extent. I think it has a lot of potential. It all depends on how they choose to give it to us. Because as you said, with Beyond Light and Lightfall, they were shoving Strand and Stasis down our throats the entire time of the campaign. And I do not like that.
Oh, they already talked about that, Dunk, in the article.
I know, but I don't trust them. I don't trust them. They've done so much shit in the past, like, I do not trust what they say in the article. I just know what they've done in the past, and I can only hope that they're gonna learn from past mistakes and actually make a huge difference in how they bring out Prismatic. But if they thread it into the story to the point where you are required to use it, I'm sorry, but please stop.
Like, you know there's going to be some sections of the story that you're going to be forced to use it in.
Yeah, well, they flat out said there's enemy types that are immune to damage until you have Prismatic, so that part is inevitable.
It all depends on if it's multiple brother. I don't want to feel like I need like the Rocky theme song playing in the background as I do my fifth training montage like I did in Beyond Light. For the love of God, please. But if they introduce it to us and then let us go with it, then it's fine. Like, give me the introduction, give me the tutorial, and then that's it. I don't have to do a Dragon Ball Z training montage ever again. Please.
Exactly. Like, the training montage for Strand was hilarious. Just because you just kept snapping yourself out of existence, and that's funny. But at the same time, it was kind of ridiculous because, again, they were shoving Strand down our throats, being like, hey, here's this cool new subclass. We're going to make it required that you have to have this for the entirety of it.
Poor Rohan. Come on, blow it up, Guardian. I think I'm going to need a 5-minute break. Fuck it. I'm just going to blow myself up. You know, whatever. I don't want another one of those moments, please. Thank you.
All right, so on this prismatic deep dive article that they launched, they did go into great detail about how it's going to work.
Let me ask, who has actually gone through the Matrix so far? These matrices they provided of what abilities are going to be available.
I was just reading them right now, and I was going to say we don't have time to go through all of them. However. I was looking at the Hunter one, and I'm mad that I cannot use
Vanishing Step, for instance.
No, I cannot use the fucking Strand Grenade. Suspend Grenade with Combination Blow. I'm real mad about that.
All right, well, so here's the thing. Here are my thoughts on the combinations, all right? Number one, they come right out of the gate in this article saying, we specifically targeted the abilities that don't get used a lot. That's what's in these combinations. The shit abilities are the ones we're letting you combine. That is specifically what they said. So if you look, all of like the core identities of the subclasses involved that you're used to playing, none of them are available to the prismatic version of the characters. There's no way for you to go invisible without doing Stylish Executioner, for example, as a hunter. You don't get Vanishing Step. That doesn't exist for you. One thing that's going to be a make or break for a lot of players for these, you can't Shatter Skate with Hunter in Prismatic because Shatter Dive is not available. You can't Well Skate on Warlock because Well is not available on Prismatic. So movement tech is not going to be available. I think that's smart, actually, because there's some serious trade-offs to these builds, but if you go through them, some classes don't have a way to make themselves amplified. Some classes don't have available to half the Strand kit. Some classes don't have good ways to freeze enemies with stasis because those abilities have been relegated to their actual single element class. So I think it was cool. I think it's cool that they're doing this, but I have a feeling a lot of people are going to be unhappy with these when they actually roll out and see the perks that are not there, what the things that they can't do on the other classes that they're used to being able to do right now.
The cool thing about it, though, is they can add stuff to this. So
maybe can they? Yeah. Can they without invalidating the other classes? I don't think they're going to make any changes to these prismatic subclasses that will invalidate any of the main classes.
I would agree.
Not until Destiny 3 comes out.
Yeah, but
listen, spoilers and leaks. There is a leak going around that says prismatic was part of Destiny 3. That it's been in the works for 2 years already. So, you know, maybe that's true, maybe it's not. And that it was supposed to be everything, not a limited selection. So this might just be training wheels for what's coming in the future. You might be right about that.
I would think that leak is pretty accurate based on what we're getting. But yeah, I agree with you, Rekt. It's like gonna like trade off some of this warlock stuff for a boss fight in the place of using a Well of Radiance?
Listen,
If I have organized a raid and everybody's in my fire team, and there's only one warlock, and I look to the warlock and say, please put on Will. And he says, I'm going to run Prismatic. I'm going to look at him and say, please put on Will. And he's going to say, but Prismatic. And while he's in the middle of saying Prismatic, I'm just going to kick him from the fire team and get a Well off.
Exactly.
I'm sorry.
Well of Radiance. I agree. Well of Radiance and Banner Titans are still hugely viable free damage bonus supers that we're just not going to get with Prismatic. It's cool. They're great for ad clear, I have a feeling. But are they going to be six Guardians running this in a boss fight? Absolutely not.
Having an extra super with the Transcendence stuff is cool. You basically get a grenade that's a mini super. I think that's great. I think that's a good trade-off. But the reason you're getting that is because they're giving you all the shitty abilities. That's it. That's why it's happening. All the good stuff you're used to using, you won't be able to use. Hopefully, you'll be able to figure out some cool things to do with this. I don't want to just be shitting in the Cheerios the whole time, all right? I do like some of this stuff. The idea of being able to get a gunpowder gamble from a single strand shuriken that hits three people, that's amazing to me. Because I guess I'm one of the few people that loves using gunpowder gamble, even if I blow myself up with it half the time. You know, stuff like that is going to be insanely fun. Being able to do things with the exotic that's got Assassin's Cowl on it and being able to combine it with abilities that I couldn't combine it with before is going to be great. I see a lot of fun uses on Hunter specifically that's going to make the subclass feel good to play even with these abilities. I just foresee that this is going to be one of those things that comes out of the gate so blazing hot. But then the community is just going to turn on immediately because they're going to be upset that some of their favorite toys aren't available. And they already are. Some of them already are. There is a lot of complaining on Twitter already about, you know, some of the lack of abilities that are on here. I think it's only going to get worse because the Destiny community is the Destiny.
Yeah, I think that, like you said, the speedrunning community got hit hard with this one. And I think that's where a lot of the hate's going to at least stem from. It may not end there, but that's where it's going to stem from.
I want to be able to freaking grapple into a blink jump. That is so cool. That's such a good thing. Or on Warlock, be able to freaking snap skate into a blink jump in PvP. It's going to be ridiculous. It's going to be so fun.
There's going to be a lot of combinations that are going to be.
Anyway, I'm excited. I think it's going to be fun. Am I excited enough to actually lock in my pre-order?
No.
and the old Rex back. Here we are.
All right, we should end this up. There's definitely a lot we could talk about and keep going probably for a while, but it's 11 o'clock here. So.
Green or tired, green or sleepy.
Yeah, exactly. We started an hour late and some other stuff. So anyway, I think it's cool. We'll probably talk about it more in future podcasts. Obviously, there's a lot of stuff we could talk about with the combinations and the multitudes and the hail fire spike and the electrified snare, the freezing singularity. If you're not aware, that's the prismatic powers from each of the things, and then of course there was the all the fragments that are releasing with it. So a lot of stuff we could talk about, and we'll move forward into. And then of course, yes, the leaks that there has been in fact a Destiny 3 in the works since the Witch Queen released, I guess, approximately.
Yeah.
So that's exciting too for me. I know a lot of people are like, oh no, I don't want to start my vault over again, whatever, yada yada yada, but I mean, God, Destiny 2 has run its course. We need a Destiny 3. Just saying. I can't wait. You guys excited? for a potential fuck Destiny
marathon.
3?
Give me Destiny 3.
Yeah. Okay. There we go. There you go. I want both, but it's all good. Anyway, shut up, Archie.
I'm sorry. I'm just so excited.
Yeah. Damn, didn't think about the vault reset. I mean, it's possible that they don't, but they're going to. They're absolutely going to.
Yeah, whatever. But everybody the vault had reset. I'm going into D2. Oh, I don't get any of my D1 weapons. Now nobody cares. So yeah,
it's a new game. It wasn't that big of a deal, honestly.
I mean, imagine, though, we start Destiny 3, we get all the weapons from Destiny 2, and it's like, oh, what is there to do? I already have all my guns. No, yeah, it's just... They're not going to give you all those guns again. Yeah.
I don't want to get too far into this. The only thing I would be upset about is potentially my cosmetic stuff that I paid money for. That might irritate me a little bit, but it's some cost fallacy at that point, right? I got my fun out of it in the game that it came in with.
Yeah, you know, if I get like a good year of like the announcement before it comes out, then I'll be fine with it. Because I won't buy anything from the Eververse store.
Yeah, that makes sense.
After that point. And then a good year with anything that I potentially had just bought is enough for me not to worry about my $20 or whatever it is. So.
Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, okay, let's end it there. That was a good podcast, a lot of fun, a lot of stuff to talk about. Thanks.
And on topic the whole time.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, it actually wasn't that bad, except for the very first line of the podcast.
We don't talk about it.
All right, so does anybody have anything they want to plug? Twitch account, YouTube, your favorite video, or your favorite TV show you want everyone to watch so it doesn't get canceled, anything like that? I don't know.
No? I don't have any events to plug until next month.
We will mention again, just in case anybody on here that hasn't heard or anybody watching the YouTube video, we've delayed Gamer Prime. Or not Gamer Prime. Derelict Prime until May sometime. Okay, so just FYI if you were waiting for it and were wondering what the fuck was happening because you missed the announcement. It's been delayed until May. Okay. Cool. I don't have a lot. If you're watching on YouTube, please like, subscribe, you know, all that stuff. We stream this live on Twitch Friday night while recording it, so check us out at twitch.tv/RadaGaming. If you play Destiny and you're not in our community, we've got 24 clans all across the world, different time zones, awesome, all platforms. Check us out at shroudedgaming.com/discord. That's everyone. I was your host, Ed Greener. Thank you so much, really appreciate it. Thanks to our guests here, Archie/Dunk, Shaco, Shaco, I keep forgetting which A pronunciation is the proper one, and Mr. Rec. Thank you guys for coming, I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
All right, Archie, calm down. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
All right, that's it. That's where we're at. Goodbye, everybody.